Welcome to A Better Way with Crossroads Bible Church. At CBC, we believe growth happens in small groups, and in season two of our podcast, we will be talking about small group leadership. The goal is to provide guidance and support to our leaders so they can welcome others, ask good questions, listen well, and point people to Jesus. And now your host, Britt Owsley.
Welcome back to our podcast. Today we are talking about discernment, something we've mentioned in a lot of our podcasts when we were talking about listening well or when we were talking about choosing content and various others. We've mentioned listening to God, taking things to God and asking him what he wants to say about different things. And we thought we'd devote one episode to talking about what that process really looks like. What does it look like for us to discern what God is communicating to us about any particular thing? When we look at the scripture, which is our sure and totally accurate rendering of God's words to us, we actually find a lot of passages where it says that God says to look to other things, like his creation, animals, the stars, other people. He tells us in his word that there's other ways in which he's going to be communicating his will or something about himself. And so discernment is the process of looking at scripture and these other sources and learning from him what he wants to say. So for me, discernment is the activity of looking for where God is communicating something to us. What are some other thoughts about discernment that y'all have come across?
Yeah, the definition I find myself working with right now is from a friend of mine, Steve Macchia, who's also an author, and he's written a book called The Discerning Life. And his phrase that he uses all the time is learning to practice a presence. Learning to practice a preference for God. And that is so invitational to me because it applies in every circumstance, every relationship. You know, it's an invitation to let go of my own will and having it my way and wondering what it is that God is wanting and how he's leading me towards what he's wanting. And that's where the discernment piece shows up, is the listening and cooperating with God and his preference.
I love that verbal slip because another common phrase is practicing the presence of God. That actually comes from a monk. His name is Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book by that title.
Right.
And he is often talking about a similar idea, but whatever activity you're doing, acknowledging God's presence with you increases an awareness of that presence and increases an awareness of what God might be doing.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. Well, in this topic of discernment, the thing that, you know, we're talking about is in ways in which we desire to hear and know God's will for us, there, of course, the Bible is always needed to be the backbone of our understanding of who God is and how God works and what kinds of things are his preferences, and to try to align our preferences and our desires to his. But there are times in which we're launching this sermon series about questions, right? You know, what does the Bible say about abortion? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion because abortion didn't exist when the Bible was being written, and so they didn't have anything. But there are principles and ideas from the Bible, right? And so what we're talking about is discerning is what do we do in situations in our lives when we have this question? And there's not an exact Bible verse that we go look up to say, oh, well, this is clearly what I'm supposed to do. There's a young man in our church who says, and I often hear it repeated, well, if it's not right or wrong, then maybe it's left or right. Just pick away and go. Like, how do we know in our small groups if God is asking us to do A or B? You know, there are times that in which we want to be able to discern things. And Sherry, you were talking about your preferences and being able to be open-handed with what your desires are, wanting to desire what God desires. And I think that that's so important. I feel like in along those same lines is the idea of paying attention in our own lives to what brings us closer to God and what brings us away from him. You know, there are times and things in our lives, there are ideas, and we realize, you know, I don't know. I guess, for example, I was just thinking about the sermon that I preached recently about anger. You know, what is it about things that make me angry? Like what circumstances or what situations or what people or whatever? Paying attention to those things with the Lord is discernment. Mm-hmm. It's, Lord, help me to understand, what are the things that are helping me to live into your kingdom and into your ways? Anger is not one of those things. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that are drawing me away from being present with you,
yeah,
and desiring your preferences?
Yeah. So like in the anger example, what have you found happens when you start exploring that with God? Like, what does communication look like, feel like, sound like, when you realize, oh, the Lord is actually responding to that question that you have?
Well, lots of things. I think the first thing I would say to that is, in my experience with that, is dealing with shame, like being able to let go of shame. Shame, it does nothing for helping you hear and understand what it is that God is trying to speak to you. Shame is a huge enemy of the soul, and it's an enemy of discernment. Mm-hmm. Knowing that God is for me, he wants what's for my good, that he loves me, that he wants to talk to me, and that he wants to help me, mm-hmm, is a huge part, I feel like, of discernment. So being able to let go of shame in the moment of anger, like when I know I'm wrong, mm-hmm, I know I'm not living into his kingdom. Mm-hmm. But yet being able to let go of shame opens up the way for me to listen to God to say, well, what about this? Mm-hmm. Consider this. Maybe this is what they're meaning.
Yep.
And so it leads away from judgment, and it leads towards curiosity. Mm-hmm. When I'm being present with Jesus, curiosity grows profoundly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've found for me, whenever I'm discerning, God can communicate in so many ways to us. And so many ways to me. And I feel like it's going to look different, you know, for each person. But some of the ways he communicates to me what he wants is through a particular, like I might be reading a particular passage of the Bible, and one verse just stands out. It's just so obvious that God is saying that verse right now. And that verse speaks into the decision that I'm making. Or a particular friend might say something, and they may not know that God is using what they're saying right then in that moment. Like the timing is just so perfect that God is answering my question, mm-hmm, even if the person doesn't know that, right, God's using them in that way. Other times it kind of is really just happens with internally. Like it might be a feeling of peace about a particular decision, about a, you know, I have different options, but one option just kind of draws me in a honestly, a kind of ineffable. Like it's, mm-hmm, hard to even put words to it because it's not verbal. It's, mm-hmm, it's a feeling, mm-hmm, that is just this sense that God wants me to do that thing. But, you know, that's not like 100%, you know, I can't be 100% certain about that. But, you know, when it's a choice between some good things, sometimes I just feel God leaning me one way. Those are the times I feel like he'll kind of stir my imagination, and maybe bring a particular image to mind or remind me of something. Like I just live with the assumption that my memory isn't only mine to access. Sometimes I'll remember something because God's bringing it to the forefront and reminding me of a phrase somebody had said to me, or a picture that I'd seen that illustrates, you know, God's will about a particular choice. So I feel like there's any number of ways that God can communicate to us. And the whole point is that we are in the middle of a relationship with him, that one thing God may be revealing isn't the only aspect of the whole relationship. That starts a process of then me, you know, discerning, maybe there's other ways in which God's communicating this. How does this line up with scripture? All those kind of things.
Well, and I love what you're saying about how many different examples that you're expressing, because I think that points to how amazing God is as a creator. Like that's a part of who he is right now, today, yesterday, today, and forever. And we get to live in the joy of receiving that creativity, his, mm-hmm, creative communication to us.
So as we're talking about discernment, what are some challenges or resistances that we've come across?
I think one of the things has to do with growth in discernment. Like we as a culture at CBC are pretty steeped in like looking to scripture to help us understand how to live our lives and really wanting to apply scripture to our lives. And what we're talking about is, in addition to that, there's also things that we need to learn about how to receive something that's not specifically stated in scripture. So the change, like we've trusted that first way so much, and and that's good that we've trusted it. But it can be difficult then to like open yourself up to there's other ways to receive communication from God and not be afraid of being misled. That's often the fear that gets named. I'm afraid I'm going to be led away from God if I don't just look for it in Scripture.
Yeah, because Scripture is our bedrock, our solid thing that we can always go back to and know God has truly spoken. We can be 100% confident in what Scripture says. But Scripture itself says that there's going to be people in your life that are going to speak God's will to you. There's going to be things in creation that God is going to use to communicate to you. Mm-hmm. And so if we believe Scripture, we're going to believe that there are ways other than Scripture that God might be speaking to us. And so discernment is paying attention to where God might be using those other means.
Which makes me think about, you know, the Scripture that tells us that we need to test the spirits of something. We need to be able to test whether or not this sounds like God, this looks like God, this is what God has revealed himself to be. Does it match with that? Or does it look like the enemy? Does it look like, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Like, how do you figure that out? Well, you can trust God that he's actually going to help you figure that out. If he's told you to test the spirits, he's telling you it's possible. I'm going to help you with that. And I just think we need to be open to that issue and trusting of God in it.
I think I'm just sitting here thinking about a friend of mine who lives in New Orleans. And I mean, she's so, I don't know, she trusts God so much for the craziest things. Like, you know, if we're driving around and looking for a parking place, I mean, she's literally probably going to be talking out loud, praying about our parking spot. And literally she means like, Lord, if there's no one you want us to meet in the parking lot and talk to, then maybe could you give us a good parking spot? But if there's somebody you want us to talk to, then by all means, let's find that parking spot. And then we go in and we're shopping for shoes and she's literally praying out loud about finding purple shoes. And I'm like, wow, I don't live my life this way. But the thing that I have discovered about my friend is that she's so willing to be obedient. If she hears something, she thinks that she hears something from the Lord, she has a yes on her tongue all the time. Like she's so quick to say, I am your hands and feet. I am the servant of the Lord. I am at your beck and call. What do you want from me? And over the years, I think I've discovered watching her that I think the Lord speaks to her more because of her willingness.
Well, can you imagine how the difference it is for the Lord? Like most of us are walking around hardly paying attention at all. And he's got this child of his that's like eager to like interact and obey. That must be very fun for God.
Mm-hmm. Just honestly, though, that does sound a little exhausting to me. And that's where I go back to. And I think that my relationship with God, my process of discernment with him doesn't have to look like other people's. Right. And so I hear that and I'm like, amen. I'm so glad that child of God gets to hear God that way. But I don't have that pressure to constantly be talking about parking spots. Because sometimes I don't feel like God, you know, it's like what you said earlier about like, if it's not right or wrong, sometimes it's just left or right. And, you know, I might park here, might park here. And I think sometimes God doesn't always tell me, you know, exactly where to park, what shoes to wear on any given day, what shirt to put on. But when I go to him, I feel like he's faithful to say, like, yes, I do want to speak to you, child. I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing that I think sometimes comes up with this is sometimes when we're discerning, sometimes when we're asking what God wants to say, sometimes it's just something, a reminder of something that's true, like that he loves us or that he wants to be with us or that he's proud of, you know, maybe any particular thing that we did to obey. And then other times it's an invitation to obey. And my hope is that I would have that same kind of yes attitude, that when he says, hey, I want you to go do this, I'd be willing. Sometimes when I'm talking about discernment with people and hearing God, I encounter a fear that is kind of funny, the consistency of the fear, because it's almost stated the same way every single time of like, oh, if God's actually going to start talking to me, like, what if he tells me I have to move to, and then they either say like Africa or China, but the idea is, if I start listening to God, what if he says something that I don't want to hear? What if he says something crazy or dangerous or totally out of left field? And what I normally say to that person is remind them, your relationship with God is something that he's building with you. He's working on. And he's not going to give you something that's just like totally crazy, right? If he's not been throughout your life building you towards a missions career in China, he's not going to just throw that at you out of nowhere. He's more kind and loving than that, right? He's a good father.
Right.
That might be something he builds you to later, but he's not just going to come out of the gate with something scary or harsh or mean or like, that's just not his character.
Yeah, this conversation has always been a little bit confusing to me because, you know, when people talked about, I'm afraid God's going to ask me to go to Africa, I was like, well, I actually might like it. That's what God said to me. So, but I think it's important that the concept needs to be worked with. What is my list of fears that I'm actually afraid of God inviting me to or asking of me? Because if you don't address that fear, like it feels like the first door you kind of need to cross through in order to really be open and available to listen to God. Because if you're, you know, got all these fears running around in the back of your mind, it's very hard to open up to communication from the Lord.
Yeah, I think just hearing you say that, Britt, made me think if your thought is God's going to ask me to do something I really don't want to do, I think maybe the conversation you need to have with the Lord is about how you see God. Do I see God as somebody who's kind of out to get me and he wants me to do the thing I don't want to do? Mm-hmm. Like that says a lot about your belief mm-hmm. in who God is, what his character and nature is like. Mm-hmm. Like I would think that the Lord would want to clarify who he is and that he's good.
Another fear I feel like I encounter is the fear of like, what if I get it wrong? Mm. Like, what if I feel like God told me to do something and he didn't actually tell me to do it? Mm. And I just feel like for me, it's not a question of, you know, God's never going to tell you to go do something evil, right? He's not going to promote sin. Whenever he's potentially speaking or communicating about a situation, it's usually a choice between a good thing and another good thing. And one of them just might be better because God might be leaning you towards that thing, but maybe he wasn't, in which case you just chose a good thing, right? And so, like, to me, the willingness, the risk of saying, like, I don't know absolutely 100% that God might be inviting me into this thing, but I feel like he might be. I have good reasons to think he would be. I'm going to do it. I just don't think that that's the kind of thing that you should feel foolish in choosing something good in case you, quote, got it wrong. I feel like the way you get it right is by having an attitude of obedience and of humility and of trying to discern and then walking down a path that looks wise and scriptural and good.
Yeah, I also think that like getting it wrong gives us too much power. Mm-hmm. What it does is it takes our focus off of the Lord is absolutely able to work everything out for good. And if we went down a path that he didn't intend for us or wasn't like the place of the most flourishing that was possible for us, that he is brilliant at redirecting us and even mm-hmm. redeeming what happened to create something good out of that. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's like the focus needs to be on the Lord and what's possible with him rather than whether we get it right or wrong.
And one other thing about that, too, is like I've learned over the years that the Lord has been really, really, really loud at particular forks in the road that were important to his sovereign will for my life. Mm. And so in the idea of getting it wrong, I think I've relaxed just a little bit in the worry about getting it wrong because I've seen him show up so powerfully at the key moments. That, you know, if this were a key moment, mm-hmm. I know that he would show up in a loud and powerful way and he wouldn't let me miss it. Mm. And so not every decision, it has that kind of weight to it.
Yeah.
And so the Lord may be saying, yeah, this is left or right. Which one do you want to go?
And also, we sin all the time. And our intentional decisions to go against God's will by sinning, mm. those don't mess up his sovereign will. So how could an attempt to obey,
right,
mess up his sovereign right. will, you know?
Right.
So let's transition to ways in which we've seen discernment done well. One of the things I love to go to first is when discernment is happening in the scripture, examples of that. So one person that, you know, I feel like is key in this is Paul. Paul was always going to God and listening. The first time God had to get his attention very loudly, very brightly, it blinded him. The second time was when he sent someone to come heal him. And, you know, Ananias came up and healed him of his blindness and told him, hey, God is saying, this is your mission. And from that point on, we get all these little hints that Paul was, he was regularly, you know, he'd say, I was in prayer and God revealed this, or I had, you know, I was doing this or that or the other. Jesus was always talking to him about stuff. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, you know, we can appropriately put him on a bit of a pedestal because he was in a little bit different position than most of us. Mm. But at the same time, I feel like we have his life as a model for the ways we can be pursuing Jesus and Jesus can be communicating his will to us. But Paul, you know, one time he had a dream and God was able to communicate through a dream. Like, has it ever even occurred to you that God might be using a dream to draw your attention to something, maybe to pique your interest about something or get you to consider something? There's other ways in which Paul, you know, he would be with groups of people. Like Acts 13 talks about how he was praying with a group of others and the group realized the Holy Spirit was calling him and, was that Barnabas? Barnabas, yeah. Sometimes it was Silas, sometimes it was Barnabas. But it was Paul and Barnabas to go on a mission trip, and they actually go out and speak to many of the people of Cyprus and then Asia Minor. But the throughout Paul's life, you see him consistently going back to God saying, what is the next thing you want me to do? There was one time in Acts 17 where he was led to the city of Athens, but then he was just like walking around and his curiosity was piqued by some of the things that he saw with the religious objects there. And he went up and started talking to people about it. So it's like God was using dreams sometimes, he was using other people, and sometimes it was Paul's own curiosity that God was using to guide him. And all along the way, we see Paul responding to God's invitation and communication.
I don't remember the exact details about Paul's life around this, but Paul also, after he had that incredible encounter with Christ, there was a season where he took a pretty decent chunk of time and disappeared and then came back on the scene again. And, you know, my understanding of what could have been going on there for Paul is that he had this paradigm, this Old Testament paradigm. He was passionate about it. He was driven by it. And he had to unlearn a whole bunch of stuff, learn about who Jesus was and how he was the fulfillment of all the stuff he'd learned about in the Old Testament, to then be able to go out and do all this traveling around, telling everybody mm-hmm. the gospel of Jesus Christ and be able to tell it well. And with passion that was from a passionate place, again, just like he was a passionate Jew, he became a passionate Christ follower that told people how this story makes sense.
Yeah, without going into all the details, part of him doing that, actually, that time where he was alone and he was discerning some of these things, he actually took a road trip down to Arabia and did a silent retreat there on Mount Sinai. So, like, there was a lot of pursuing aloneness and stillness and solitude and silence with the Lord, and the Lord was able to speak into. So that's another way in which God was able to communicate to him.
I'm thinking about Peter, too. Like, Peter, he's a great example of you're not always going to get it right. And somehow the Lord leads you where he wants you to go and creates in you what he wants to create and uses you in his kingdom the way he has planned to use you. You know, Peter was enthusiastic, but he didn't always get it at first. But eventually he did get it. And he's a great example of how patient the Lord is and how willing the Lord is to like help us understand the call that we have in our life, the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, and to reform us into something that participates well in his kingdom.
Yeah, with Peter had to grow.
Yeah,
we see a lot of growth needing to happen with Peter, and then we see it happening. Mm-hmm. And that's just an example for us that as we learn to hear from God, that's something that we are growing in, and we're not going to get perfect. He's building a relationship with us. An example of this happening in my own life, when I was in college, I was in a small group. When I was a freshman, I was so afraid of everything. I was extremely shy, and I didn't know how to kind of break free of a lot of the fear that I was living with. Well, I was at this small group, and it was actually a big deal that I was courageous enough to go to this and to be a part of this kind of event we were doing. And someone was actually playing worship, and we were in a time of worship where we were kind of just sitting still and worshiping privately. And I was sitting there alone. And I just remember feeling like, God, I am so sick of this fear. I want to be done with this fear. Can you please take it away? And it was like the moment that I finished praying that in my own head, a girl touched my shoulder And she was one of the leaders of the group, and she had been discerning. She had been listening to God. The first thing she said was, I feel like God said that you want him to take away your fear. And so I was praying about that, and I just wanted to come see if that's something I could pray for you. Also, he led me to this Bible verse. And incidentally, it was a Bible verse that at the time I would have said was my favorite. As be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46, 10. And so she was just like reading that, and then she's like, can I pray this? And it's like she repeated back to me exactly what I had just asked God to take away. Clearly, God had to tell her that. And she was listening. She was paying attention to that. And that absolutely changed the rest of college for me. Like, there was just something, it was like a kind of almost like chains or like almost like a shell of armor around me that just like cracked and broke open when she was praying that. And it's because God really was answering my prayer in that moment right then. It was very, very powerful for me. And I'm just so thankful that she took the time to listen, but also took the risk of obeying.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody is willing to just say, like, I feel like God said blank, and then here's a Bible verse, and can I pray? But she was willing to obey that, step out and encourage, and it met me and my needs in a way that I was desperate for, and totally changed my walk with God, totally changed my ability to interact with others. Again, fear was just totally removed in a way that let me open more up with my group and get more connected with people. And it was life-changing. And it's just like, those are the kinds of things that in a small moment, you don't know what God might do if he's like hinting, hey, maybe you should go say this, or maybe you should go do this, or maybe this is the curriculum you should choose, because it's actually going to be totally life-changing for someone.
Would you say that that's part of why you're so passionate about discernment?
I would say that it is, because that was something that it really, God really did get my attention on that particularly. So that became something I studied a lot. When I was in college and when I was in seminary, it's just something that I've paid a lot of attention to in the scripture. Where is God doing this, and how can we can we do it? So I actually got a chance to do that several years later when I was leading a small group with this college kid who came in. He was very closed off. He definitely had that air of like, I'm kind of the coolest kid in the room and I'm kind of too cool for all of this, but I'll deign to be here. He was very closed off. But then I just felt like God told me to say something to him. And actually, right now, this was years ago, I don't remember what it was that I said, but I just remember it was what I felt like God had said to say, like just a little comment about something. And he totally shifted. He, like, his whole demeanor, he suddenly felt extremely safe with us as a group. And after a couple minutes, he actually just totally derailed the group because he just started sharing his whole life and everything wrong he'd ever done and every basically experience he'd ever had. And he was just like totally confessing his whole life. And someone else, after the group, actually, someone continued a long conversation with him and ended up leading him to the Lord. He didn't realize that he hadn't actually fully taken the step of trusting Jesus. But something I said led to this break in vulnerability that he was able to just gush out. And then in the middle of that, someone was able, one of my co-leaders, was able to kind of meet with him and then lead him to the Lord. And it was just like wonderful to know that I got to be a part of that. And it was just because I took the step of, I feel like God said, maybe you should say this. So there wasn't 100% certainty about it, but it would have been a good thing to say no matter what. And I said it. And then, you know, it led to something that only God could do.
An example of discernment for me, something recently that's happened is I've been going out on walks in the morning for like 30 minutes. I've given up, you know, listening to books and stuff on that walk and just like having it be a prayerful conversation with the Lord. And I was on a walk and I just 3/4 of the way through, I felt like God was saying to me, I want you to go pull the book, The Artist's Way, off the shelf. And it was a book that I had read like 7 years ago, really resonated with. Really wanted what it was offering, but it just didn't feel like it was the right time for it. And so, yeah, I was just curious and willing to pull it down and look at it again. And by the end of that morning, I was like, wow, I really think the Lord's inviting me to participate in what this is. And it's really a workbook that's like a 12-week process. And so committed to that, you know, with the Lord, and was just so grateful, you know, in a season where there's been a lot of, I don't know what's going on, and just trying to hang in there with the Lord. So for him to give such a specific invitation towards something was such an incredible gift. But also there was prayer that day and the next day. I was like, Lord, I'm willing to do this alone with you, but what I really, really am hungry for is to be led at this point in my journey. And so I got onto Instagram a few minutes after that prayer and was scrolling, and all of a sudden this ad pops up in my feed, and it's a woman who has been doing the book as the Artist's Way. She's been doing the Artist's Way cohorts for years now. She was the first day of opening up a new group that was going to start in a few weeks. And I went to her website, I listened to her podcast, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman feels like such an amazing fit for me. Not only is the thing a good fit, but like her as a leader seems like an incredible fit. And so I signed up for the group, and it starts in a few weeks. And
wow.
And Britt, you pointed out to me, you know, in this, you know, podcast where we're trying to like help people get into small groups, know what to do in small groups and all that stuff, that it ended up being a way that the Lord led me into a small group. So
yeah, that's awesome. I'm not sure, you know, examples have done well. I guess the thing that I want to share is what's, you know, just current with me. It's what's currently resonating with me is something I actually shared on one of our podcasts previously about the Lord after I had shared in our small group. And Sherry, you had asked me a couple of clarifying questions. And I had an image pop into my head, a field that I felt like the invitation of the Lord was to work the field, plow it, and develop it into a garden. Like that was the invitation. And I feel like the Lord has continued on in that over the last couple of months to continue to give me gardening images and ideas. And what it represents is invitations from the Lord for me to grow personally in ways in which that he wants me to grow up and to mature. And it's so beautiful because gardening is something that is very personal and very precious to me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny, you know, people talk about heaven sometimes and they imagine what they might be doing in heaven. And the thing that I've always asked the Lord is that I could garden in heaven. And so for him to speak to me in such a beautiful and personal way, the way in which he's inviting me to grow is this idea of gardening. So yeah, this discernment, it fits in with what my passion, what my heart is, but it's also a challenge. It is a way in which the God is asking me to risk and to grow and to change. And so just paying attention to him, I feel like one of the things that we kind of hinted around on earlier is like when you hear the voice of God, sometimes you question it, mm-hmm. but there are these times that you just know mm-hmm. that, oh, I know that I know that I know that this is the Lord speaking, and that this is his gentle invitation to me, and that he desires for me to be obedient in it. And yeah, I think it's so important for us to pay attention and desire for him to speak to us in those kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone's hearing in all this is how beautiful it is to get to experience a discerning life with God. It leads to so many beautiful moments.
So what are some tips that we have for leaders that want to grow in their discernment? One that I would say is surround yourself with trusted people that when you are discerning something, you feel like the Lord has highlighted particular scripture or given you an image or giving you a phrase or something, you can take that to those people and they can also be praying for you and kind of discern, like, does that sound like God? Is that maybe just something you're really excited about? And so you're confusing your own excitement with what the Lord might be saying, or people can recognize that is something you're passionate about, but I can tell the Lord is really speaking into, you know, it's good to get trusted people. You know, it's good if those people are also actively trying to discern and grow in this and might even be a little bit down the road than you. Yeah. But finding those people can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that we've kind of mentioned several times back from the beginning of what you shared, Sherry, was about preference. And I think one of the most important aspects of growing in discernment is something that Ignatius called indifference. And the way he described indifference was just kind of this image that I have of it is being able to sit with your hands totally open before him, saying, Lord, whatever it is that you want, I want what you want. Being able to name what your expectations are or what they have been, and saying to the Lord, Lord, what I really want more than what I want what you want. You have to be able to let go of your expectations. And I think another tip that I would give to people is, if you're trying to discern something and you recognize that you can't be indifferent, that you have a strong desire in this circumstance, in this situation, being able to find people that you can lean into, Britt, what you were saying, your trusted group of people, you know, your tribe, being able to lean on other people during that time is so important, because if I can't be indifferent, then I need community around me to help me discern what I can't.
So I love that you're saying that, because it makes me think about, you know, there's some people I want to trust them, but in maybe a given situation or it might just be their personality, they're super passionate about a particular thing. And in discernment, your excitement about something can, you know, maybe give interference in the signal. If we can use the metaphor of a radio, that if I really want you to succeed at something, my own heart make it feel like God also wants you to succeed in that thing. And there can be this sort of false positive of confirmation from God when sharing about things that we're discerning. So just something to be aware of is just like, what are your feelings about a thing? I love that you said naming expectations, naming our emotions, naming how we feel about things can be a good way to safeguard against, like, we're all just super excited about this, so we've decided that God must be saying it. Your excitement isn't the same thing as God saying it, but at the same time, God can use your emotions, can use your excitement to like move you towards something that he wants you to be passionate about.
One of the tips that I would have to offer would be, you know, we grow into this. So we've talked a lot about in this podcast, just in general, about learning to pay attention to what's going on with you and with God. And so, again, this is another invitation to pay attention and to look for things. I would say, like, a growth example for me was somewhere along the way, I was like, oh my gosh, if a book comes up 3 times, okay, Lord, I'll read it. And I think the reason why that was helpful to me is because I can be attracted to a lot of books just naturally. That's who I am. I love to read. I love to learn that way. But there's a difference between me just being interested in a topic and feeling drawn by the Spirit towards a book multiple times. And eventually I was able to pick up on the difference. Like, that's what we mean when we say you can grow in discernment. And then I was like, okay, this is something that the Lord really wants me to read. You know, I'll make it a priority to read this book.
That's where I'd want to go back to what we were saying about how it's okay to get this wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be getting it wrong as you're growing in something. It's kind of like when you learn to walk, you stumble sometimes.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you don't keep going. You get up and you keep going. So when we discern and sometimes we realize, oh, that wasn't actually God. That was just my own excitement, or that was just my own worry. And you become aware of something maybe you weren't aware of before. This can be a process of self-discovery. But as we're growing, there's not this pressure. I have to always get it right. Just the same as if I'm in friendship with someone, I might misunderstand something somebody said to me. Like, a comment may come across unintended. I may interpret it in a different way. Like, there can be ways in which God is speaking to us, and we just have to grow in figuring out, where am I getting in the way? Where are my own emotions kind of distracting me? And what is it that God's really saying and inviting me into? And this shouldn't be a heavy thing. This shouldn't be a thing where we're like really worried we get it wrong. It's okay to just keep going if we realize, like, oh, that was just my own heart.
Yeah, something that's coming to mind for me is just taking time, being able to relax into the idea that, you know, if I'm really trying to hear from the Lord, sometimes I might not get it right, but then sometimes I will. This takes time to learn, but not only does it take time, some decisions and some discernment takes time. Mm. Asking the Lord, do you want me to act now about this thing, or do you want to clarify this over some time?
An example of that just makes me think about how God, in taking time, God will often speak into something more than once. He'll confirm things. So people are always asking me about my tattoo. My tattoo comes from a Bible verse. It's Malachi 2:7. For the lips of a priest guard knowledge, and from his mouth people seek instruction, because he's a messenger of the Lord of hosts. That verse was something I feel like God highlighted when I was a junior in college. A year later, I feel like I was really trying to discern, what did I do after college? And I was really getting into the question of, do I go into kind of higher academia, get like master's and doctorate and go be like a Latin teacher somewhere or something? And he started speaking to me things when I was a senior in college. And then the year out of college, when I was working and I was taking a lot of time to discern, that was when he started saying some more things about how I should go to seminary. But it was like he had started that decision. And what I ultimately kind of felt like this verse came to mean is that my goal is to be a priest, quote unquote, like someone in the church who guards knowledge and then people can get instruction from. Mm-hmm. Like my role that God was calling me to is to be someone who teaches people in the body of Christ. He wasn't calling me a teacher in academia. He wasn't calling me to go even to other places. There were some other kind of trails that I chased down and realized that wasn't what God was calling me to. What he was calling me to was to be someone in the church who's actively teaching the word of God. Mm-hmm. But that was a many year process. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of David. You know, David was told he's going to be king, but you know, it was probably I think it was 13 years before he actually became king of Israel. Sometimes God will tell you something, but then it's a decade before he actually accomplishes it. But he wanted you to know ahead of time, so you make decisions in line with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, one tip that I would say is just try to just discern, because I feel like God loves to include other people in this, that the goal is for us to be drawn together. So as a small group leader, discern, is there anything that God wants to say to encourage the people in your group? Because I feel like that is a really neat way to practice. Like, what's the difference between I just really like this about this person, or I just really admire this, and God wanted me to speak into it? Because we all need to be told all the time that God loves us. But you might say, hey, I just wanted to remind you that God loves you. And the timing of it could be uncanny for the person. That God, you were listening and God told you to say it in a way and in a time that they really needed it in that moment. Or you might notice something that they not realize about themselves. That, you know, scripture talks about all these different spiritual gifts or all these different qualities of character. And you may feel like God highlights one for a person. And you could just say, I really feel like you exemplify this or whatever. You don't always have to say God said in the middle of it. But that could be a moment where they encounter God in a deeper way, because it was like an uncanny, they were not expecting. And suddenly they feel the love of God in what you communicated. Mm-hmm. Like, encouragement has so much power to let us discern what God is saying and then bear fruit directly in the lives of the people around us. So I feel like as small group leaders, one of the main ways you can easily practice this is, did somebody just think like, oh yeah, that was nice encouraging? Or did they start crying because it deeply met the needs of their heart? I just feel like that's a really safe way to practice hearing God's voice. I hope this conversation is beneficial. I want to say thank you to any leaders taking the time to listen. If anyone has any questions about this or would like to talk more, they can reach out to me or to Lynn or Sherry. We'd love to sit down and have a conversation about this. I hope we've given you some things to think about, and I hope you take that and you go listen to God on your own.